Baron's desk comp informed him he had downloaded messages waiting. His parents had been sending him jaunty little get-well messages every week or so, but that was not what he wanted. What he wanted was right there in front of him. Personal on the header, and Esme Suiza Serrano down below. She was back. It had all been a mistake, not his grandmother's fault. She wasn't land bride anymore. She had a ship of her own. She loved him. She hoped he was better, and she was sending a cube. He looked away and blinked back tears. She was all right. She wasn't dead or hurt or lost. She hadn't gone back to Altiplano. He should have known she'd manage. Esme always managed. Things always worked out for her in the end.
Where is I?
Baron shook his head hard. She loved him, he loved her. He was glad she was back in, of course he was. He was glad she had a ship. She deserved to have a ship. His mind automatically calculated how long it would be before he could hope for a ship, and he swatted it down.
Well, that doesn't matter, does it?
Baron looked at his reflection in the bureau mirror and grimaced. All the scars were gone, the visible ones, but he still looked gaunt and older than he had.
Because you've grown up.
Was this restlessness, this dissatisfaction, part of growing up? He fled from that question and decided to follow his doctor's recommendation to walk at least 5 kilometers a day. Around the training field, around the main buildings, and down to Q-Town, who had just about finished the distance. His legs ached by the time he got to Q-Town, and he was glad to stop and rest. He might as well eat supper here. He knew the name and reputation of each bar and restaurant, and shied away from Diamond Sims, where someone would be sure to comment on experiences. Mama Z's, on the other hand, served hearty food in its small, crowded dining room. Baron had finished his salad and was waiting on the main course when the door opened, letting in a cold gust of wind. He glanced up and met the professor's inquisitive gaze.
Lieutenant Serrano, what a pleasant surprise. May I sit with you?
Baron had been in the mood to brood alone, but the professor was an older man, distinguished.
Of course. I wanted to apologize. I should not have embarrassed you with Ensign Pardoll that way. It's my instinct for mischief.
That's all right. It doesn't matter.
No, of course it matters. You were only trying to protect one of your people from danger, albeit an imaginary danger.
Get you something?
The waitress, an older woman with gray hair, handed the professor a menu.
Ah, yes.
The professor ordered quickly. When the waitress left again, he cocked his head at Baron.
Something's troubling you, young man. Have you fallen for the fair Margue instead of your own illustrious Esme Suiza?
Baron pushed the salt shaker back and forth.
No, it's not that. She's got a ship now, Esme. She's back in. And she should be.
The professor busied himself with his napkin, folding it into a precise triangle before putting it in his lap.
You're married, Professor, aren't you?
Yes. God, a wonderful woman. I tell you what, young Serrano, they get better as they get older. Softer, mellower. When she was young, she was like a green peach. Oh, but now...
Esme wasn't a peach in any way, and Baron was rather uncomfortable with the personal nature of the topic, but the professor was likely the only married man that he could talk to.
We only had those few days, and I don't even know where she is.
I'm sorry, I'm not following this. Why don't you start at the beginning?
Baron started instead with Esme's disgrace as a result of the quarrel with Brun Meager, and worked his way to the family reunion and their hasty, clandestine marriage.
You just ran off to a magistrate. How, charming.
We just couldn't stand it. What with the mutiny and my family and everything, we wanted to have some kind of link.
And then things hit the fan.
Not really. We made the ship by a hair, and the captain chewed us out a bit, but not much, and it was so wonderful those days.
Those nights, I suspect you mean, unless you were on third shift.
Well, yes, both, really, working together at least part of the time, and then
And then you found you could get along with half the sleep you thought you needed. Yes. Yes, youth is wonderful that way. So what happened?
Esme got new orders. She was to leave and transfer at Sector 5 to another ship, and then on across to her final assignment. The next thing I knew, she wasn't in the fleet database. She'd been separated, and I didn't know where she was.
Did you think she'd gone back to Altiplano?
I didn't know. And I was on a warship, a cruiser. I had no chance to start looking. I kept thinking, worrying, and then we were in combat, and then...
I heard.
The waitress reappeared with a loaf of fresh, warm bread and a bowl of butter. The professor pulled off a hunk and started eating.
Ah. Mmm. Mmm. They were determined to save your life because you'd saved the ship, is what I heard.
All I did was stand still.
Yes, well, sometimes standing still is the right thing to do. But, you're waffling, young man. Get to the point.
Baron found himself blurting it out, more than he'd meant to say.
And she's older, and she's got a ship, and I'll always be behind.
The professor stopped and folded his hands on the table.
It's not a race.
Sir?
It's not a race. Marriage. There is no behind or ahead. You're not in competition. You're a partnership. Do you love this woman?
Esme? Of course.
No, not of course. I mean really love her. Heart and soul and body.
Yes, I do.
But right now you're jealous, aren't you? You think she's the famous one, the hero, twice over, the captain of a fine ship, because if she's the captain, it will be a fine ship. You don't want to be a bauble on her necklace, a trophy husband.
It's not jealousy, exactly.
Yes, it is, exactly. It's obvious to me that you're a fine young officer, a proper Serrano. Your whole life has been fleet, and one particular segment of fleet. But your wife's not just fleet. Your wife's a land bride, or she was, and she's got connections that go far beyond fleet.
I know that.
Yes, yes, intellectually you do, but emotionally you haven't begun to cope with it yet. I will bet that when you first met her, you thought you were doing her a favor.
I admired her.
Yes, but you knew more about fleet, I dare say, and you were glad to show your expertise.
Baron reached for the bread himself.
I suppose. She did ask me things.
Yes, and you generously instructed her. And that's fine, so far as it goes. Tell me how much you've learned about Altiplano.
It occurred to Baron that he hadn't even considered learning more about Altiplano.
Not much.
Well, tell me then, what about those women the news media called your new tech's wives? What does your resume think of them?
Oh, them. They're not a problem anymore.
The professor's eyebrows went up.
Someone Brun Meager knows found them a home on a colony world someplace.
Someone someplace, hmm? That's not very specific. Do you feel any responsibility for them? These women who left their native world because they trusted your word?
Put like that, it sounded as if he were an irresponsible, selfish wretch.
I hadn't really thought about it, not since they left. They seemed happy enough to go there.
Out of fleet, out of mind. Only the standards here in fleet are real to you, is that it? I suppose that's why you're so worried about always being junior to her.
I hadn't thought of it like that.
Baron didn't want to think of it like that, and he was relieved when the waitress returned with their food. He dug into his food and hoped the professor would forget what they'd been talking about.